There's a table, 2x2 table, a federal law enforcement data, which you could say what you do. Maybe we shouldn't believe that either. But
okay.
Look at black
the
on
FBI,
Asian crime, black on black
crimes,
crime.
The FBI
white on
hate
black
crime statistics, that's a law enforcement agency. 59.1% was based
itself,
on race, ethnicity,
I look at absolute
and
violence.
Ancestry, saying hate crimes rose 12%
violence,
between
doctor.
2020 and 2021.
Look at the absolute crimes themselves. What they classify as a hate crime is itself a political judgment.
This is so painful to watch. She's literally hyperventilating. Okay. All right. So you've destroyed everything. So what do you say to the these hate crime statistics? Oh, hate crimes? Oh, well, they're by nature partisan categories. They're by their nature political judgments, which you right now are weaponizing for partisan purposes. You see, this is the problem. This is the irony. This is the problem when you don't define your terms. Someone like Vivek is going to make rhetorical mincemeat out of you. As you can see, all Vivek is doing throughout this entire exchange is staying true to his fundamental premise. I stand against all acts of invidious racial discrimination. I'm not going to engage in singling out certain acts in order to weaponize them for partisan purposes. It's known as emancipatory politics, by the way. It's the media is always, the media majors in emancipatory politics, which is a globalist scheme to basically recast all of our culture, custom, and tradition as racist, bigoted, and phobic. All right. But Vivek's like, I'm not going there. I absolutely oppose any and all invidious racial discriminatory acts, and I refuse to weaponize any one of them in particular for partisan emancipatory purposes. And this reporter is deliberately trying to do just that, but she doesn't have the argumentative skills to do it effectively against Vivek. Again, it continues to just go downhill.
When you actually care about protecting life, if you want to say Black Lives Matter, let's look at where Black lives are actually being lost. It's in the cities, at the heart of other Black Americans and criminals.
And that's absolutely
an
issue that we talk about as well. But are we supposed to ignore white supremacist hate crimes?
We're not supposed to ignore any kind of crime, Dasha. That's what I say. But what I see is a selective reporting. Take the Nashville Transgender Shooter Manifesto. Every shooter manifesto in a mass shooting has been released within 48 hours, except for that one shooter in Nashville. Now, it ended up being leaked. What do you see? It wasn't a white supremacist. It was somebody that was actually making fun of using derogatory terms. I believe.
Okay, so why are you okay talking about that manifesto and not talking about the manifesto from the 2015?
I'm more than okay talking about both. But what I'm asking is, why is the mainstream media suppress that one? Why did the police suppress that one? Why was that the one shooter manifesto that of all of the mass shootings, every other shooter manifesto has been released? I'm focused on that one because that's the one that's been hidden from us. And it comes back to the point of my candidacy and the way I'm going to run this country. Trust the people with the truth.
But first, how many USC fans do we have out there? We know that the one and only Donald Trump is a huge USC fan, as are the fighters of him. But have you ever wondered what they do to manage their pain? Well, you don't have to, because a fellow patriot and good friend to this channel is precisely the one who provides relief to that pain, and he's here to do the same for you. You know, gang, as we age, aches and pains we think of are normal, but they don't have to be. And that's where the groundbreaking medical scientist Clint Winters comes in. You've seen Clint on Fox. You've seen him on this channel. He's a world-renowned health expert who's unveiled a natural pain reliever that's taking the world by storm. It's called ConoCB2. It's the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous meds, and it's the official pain reliever for the fighters in the UFC. And the best news, ConoCB2 has no documented side effects after years of private testing. It's absolutely the future of relief. So whatever you do, make sure to click on that link below and check out Clint's amazingly informative report on how ConoCB2 is changing lives by providing safe and powerful relief at a fraction of the cost of pain pills. Click on that link below right now. She's so out of her league. There's Vivek just going, yep. And she's like, trying to keep up with him, trying to hyperventilate her way out of this mess that she's clearly made for herself rhetorically. Did you hear what she said in response to Vivek's pointing out the legacy media deliberately suppressing the Nashville trans shooters
manifesto, while at the same time deliberately pushing every other shooter's manifesto. Do you hear what she said to that? So why is it okay for you to talk about that manifesto and not the white supremacist ones? Because you and the media are hiding it. you talk about the white supremacist ones to your blue in the face. You've hidden this one. And my campaign is asking why. And it goes back again to emancipatory politics, because trans people, in this case, are a protected class in this new woke caste system. And supposed white supremacists are now the evil monsters that have to be eradicated. And I don't buy that catechism. I don't buy that religion. I don't buy that new fundamentalism. You see? You in the media are deliberately suppressing this in order to fabricate a fraudulent, woke, racial narrative. So Vivek is calling out, ironically, her own suppression. And then she tries to respond by accusing him of suppressing these other supposedly white supremacist shootings. Again, this is so, it's so clearly an act of projection. Whatever she hears him throwing back at her, you know, turning the tables on, all she does is she just tries to, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever, whatever you throw at me bounces off and sticks on you. She's just constantly trying to project what she is doing herself. And Vivek's like, look, I started this whole argument by saying I denounce all racial discriminatory acts. I'm more than fine talking about both. I stand against, let's see if we get this word again, all invidious acts of racial discrimination. But you, NBC, by evidence of you suppressing that manifesto, apparently stand against only some. That's the effing difference between you and me. I stand against all. You being woke, being an advocate of a racial caste system, you only stand against some.
The reality is right now,
I think the media did not hold the police accountable.
Are
they would have been demanding that.
Starting to gain ground, gain traction with the black community, with Latino voters. Do not worry that your rhetoric is pushing them away. There are folks
to the contrary. I think we're going to bring black people into this movement.
Who are concerned about your rhetoric?
Well, you know what? I'm concerned about their corruption. If you had somebody who actually one of the most prominent black influencer the other day, what did she say? I've been black my whole life, and this man could actually unify this country in response to a long exchange I had with a black pastor who had an event here in Iowa, did challenge me with a hard question, asking me, are my views against affirmative action, how do those align with historical racial injustice?
Affirmative action is a debate that is being had.
If I may finish my point,
Dasha, with racism,
I think I will be better positioned.
But you're denying that racism is a problem.
I've never denied that racism is a problem. And if you listen to the response I gave to that black pastor, my whole point is racism has been a major problem for most of our national history. But we're getting close to the promised land that Martin Luther King envisioned. We're as darn close to it as we ever have been. And so what bothers the heck out of me is it's right when we're close to that promised land. Martin Luther King said it. I may not get there with you, and he didn't get there with us. But I think it desecrates the legacy of our civil rights movement, desecrates the legacy of Martin Luther King, that right when we get closest to the point of having racial equality and gender equality and even opportunities for people of minorities of many types, are we perfect? No. But are we as close as we've ever been? Yes, we have. To then obsess over systemic racism, to then obsess over white guilt and otherwise, we're creating new waves of racism, Dasha, that we otherwise would have avoided right when we're closest to having achieved what even the proponents of the civil rights movement would have dreamed of. That's what bothers me. My exchange with that black pastor about a week or so ago, right here in Iowa, not far from where we are, it was in Indianola, not far from where we are in Des Moines, was that we're founded on the pursuit of a more perfect union, the pursuit of liberty, equality, and justice for all. And I reject this left-wing narrative that's creating more artificial division. So I believe I will bring more black and Hispanic voters into our movement, not by saying fake poll-tested slogans, but by speaking the hard truth that we've been imperfect in our past, but let us celebrate the progress we've made and reject the media's cherry-picking narratives to actually get to the truth of the matter. And now if we care about Black Lives, the things we're going to do isn't obsessing about white supremacy. It's actually fixing the problems in our cities, which I will do as our president.
Vivek is absolutely right there. We have to remember that we have never been less racist than we are right now. I mean, virtually every single study out there shows that racism has plummeted in our nation. So if you take studies that examine attitudes towards what are called racial indicators, so you get questions like, do you support interracial marriage? Would you feel comfortable working for someone of a different ethnicity? Would you feel comfortable living next to someone of a different ethnicity? Now, if you ask that question in the 1950s, beginning of the 60s and so forth, you know, do you support interracial marriage? Sorry, 90% of the society said, no, I don't. Or only 10% said, yeah. Today, it's the opposite. Every poll shows it. Every single poll shows it. Today, it's the opposite. 90% say, yeah. No problem. Interracial marriage. Big deal. Would you be comfortable working for someone of a different ethnicity? 1950s. I don't think I like that. No, today, 95%. Yeah, no problem. What's the problem? So we have never been so racially united as we are right now. Again, are there problems? Of course. Human beings, in a fallen world, human beings never fail to disappoint. But like what Vivek just said there, what he just said there is objectively validated. It's objectively verified, corroborated by every study out there that I know of. And yet, you'll notice via this NBC reporter, our permanent political class has never been more obsessed with accusing us of racism. They've never been more obsessed over systemic racism. And as you could see there, gang, they're losing. As you saw from that interview, they're losing and they know it. They're hyperventilating over it. We're seeing it as well in the latest reports that have been coming out that DEI initiatives, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. These DEI initiatives are imploding quite literally everywhere. Not only is there a hiring freeze on DEI officers, there are actually mass firings happening all over the country. It's being widely reported that DEI positions are getting slashed literally everywhere. Of course, we had the amazing decision handed down by the Supreme Court, a 6-3 decisive smackdown, officially ending affirmative action, particularly with regard to college admissions. But the ripple effect is being felt all throughout society, most particularly corporations who ever so coincidentally started firing their DEI officers shortly after the Supreme Court's decision, no doubt concerned about comparable legal action against them in the wake of that decision. But don't tell that to Mark Cuban. No. Don't tell that to Mark Cuban. As far as Mark is concerned, DEI is great. DEI is our strength. That's what he tried to at least argue to Elon Musk. Musk, of course, called DEI blatantly racist and discriminatory. And so Mark Cuban tweeted out this whole pathetic multi-paragraph defense of diversity, equity, and inclusion that was so patently self-unaware. He owns the Mavericks, the NBA team, Dallas Mavericks. So Musk responded to that defense of DEI with one simple and brilliant sentence. Cool. So when should we expect to see a short white Asian woman on the Mavs? That's right. Diversity is our strength. Diversity, equity is our strength. Inclusive is our strength. That's all DEI. Okay, great, Mark. Great. So when are the Asian women going to be joining the Mavs? That's her strength, isn't it? Gang, that's called game, set, match. Again, Cuban is just so out of his league here. I mean, they've lost, gang. They've lost. And with the rhetorical brilliance of the likes of Vivek and others like Elon, we can be assured that this DEI loss is indeed ultimately permanent.